Public Works Committee meeting of Tuesday, June 21st. To order, we have Alderman Roszewski, Alderman Cott, myself, and staff. I see no citizens, so no citizens' comments. Minutes for correction or approval from May 17th. Take them as approved.
I'm good.
As presented. All right, moving right in. New business 2016-34 IGA for KC TAP for Kennedy Road multi-use path.
This allows us to accept the $50,000 that the county board approved for the Kennedy Road multi-use path. So it's basically the same agreement that we've approved before. And as soon as we approve it, we'll submit for some reimbursement money. So.
Cool.
Anybody have any questions or comments?
No, just a comment. What's our balance after we get this $50,000?
So this is for Kennedy Road. So this is
this won't go towards a path.
You mean the local share balance?
I'm mixing up issues here, I think.
No, I misunderstood your question. I think the most recent local share estimate was around like 380 something. They've raised, I want to say, like 220, 230.
So this will bring it up to 280.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they're having a golf outing in the summer still.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So they're closing in.
They are. Quickly. Yeah. And they're still ahead of the game as far as costs go. So.
Because they've made all the payments to date. And some, yep. Because they have money in the bank,
yep.
Still in.
And the one thing that you have in here, you get some, is that your handwriting? $230,000 so far?
So
5, 10, 16, someone wrote in there.
That would make sense.
And that's before, so you're right, 280. I just.
Yep.
Okay.
5, 10, 16.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
All right. So with that, consent agenda. Any objections?
No. I'm good.
Okay. Eric is in a hurry today, so we're going to keep going. Quickly.
That's good.
So,
good.
Number two, Public Works 2016-35, IDOT purchase of right-of-way for Fox Hill.
Correct. This is in the SSA area. It's the main entry sign to Fox Hill. It's the stone one that's right there on the west side of Deal Farm Road, Route 34. And the state is looking to purchase the rights to that area, and therefore the sign. And have offered us $22,000 for that, which is a fair offer. And unfortunately, we can't put it back in the same place, so we'll have to look for a new place to put it.
So that'll be another discussion we'll have later down the road, is what do we do for signage for them?
Mm-hmm.
And Eric's right. I did an actual cost estimate to see what I thought of what their market is for replacement, and it comes up pretty close. So. The one thing I want to bring up, and I talked with Eric about it, we are responsible for demolition of the sign, and once this goes to city council, we'll have 32 days to do that, so Eric, you're
going to
contact IDAT and make sure we have some leniency to make sure it's done.
So are there options per sign somewhere there?
It's going to be tight, and that's why my recommendation is to wait till they're done, because there's sound walls going in there on both sides of Deal Farm Road. We may have to look at a different at Sycamore Road, or we may have to look at the island in the middle that is on Deal Farm. But I'd like them to get their project done so we can see where the best sight lines would be, if we have to change the look of the sign, how we would do that.
Because if we took that sign and we wanted to put it in the same location, it would be basically on the sound barrier walls, which then gets into maintenance and obligations with IDOT, and they make us take more than our fair share.
Yeah.
So. Okay. All right. Any other questions, comments, or we will move this as well to the consent?
Sure.
Okay. Continuing. Public Works 2016-36 Wrigley grant of easement.
This is an easement from Wrigley and the cities to install and maintain the parking for the traffic signal that will be constructed as part of the intersection improvements. That's also on the agenda.
Nothing fancy here. Pretty simple. Any questions, or we'll put this on consent as well?
How soon before we can expect to see this completed, roughly?
It's actually next on the agenda, Larry. I don't think there's a firm date yet. We took the bids, and now there's going to be contracting with between our apparent low bidder and the state and everybody else. But they're looking
objections to consent?
No.
All right. Continuing on. PW 2016-37, Wrigley Intersection Improvements, bid award.
We took bids on June 13th. So we had three bidders. The current little bidder was Geneva Construction. When they had bids came in very well in our estimate. So we recommend award to Geneva Construction.
Questions or comments? I have the two boxes that are highlighted in gray.
Yes.
Line 15 and line 33. Was there anything with those?
No, what that indicates is when we receive the bid and we read the bottom line value, and then we actually go and calculate it, it differs. We always have to defer to the unit price. Okay. And those are the two numbers that
and that's,
were different.
Those aren't, because I noticed the one is extremely high and the one's real low.
It didn't alter
mm-hmm.
their little bidder status.
Okay.
Correct.
But thought. Any other questions or comments?
Again, we're looking towards fall.
Fall for this one?
Mm-hmm. We will know better after approval next week, and then the contracts all get signed then by everyone, and we can get it on the schedule. Because there are long lead times, as everybody knows, for the mast arms.
No.
Those take a long time.
Since this is going with Geneva Construction, we should not have any hang-ups with any of the state issues for IDOT. Is that correct? Or is there a potential that, since this is
the June 30th IDOT funding?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know for sure.
Okay.
I think it's all
kind
up
of
in the air until July 1st.
Okay.
You know,
all right.
Until we find out what's going on.
As of right now, it's on track, though.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So with that, consent, unless anyone objects. Okay. Continuing. PW 2016-38, Fountain Village Development Status.
There are outstanding punch lists. There is outstanding punch list work in the Fountain View development, and has been repeated attempts to obtain a schedule from the developer in which this work will be addressed. And to this date, we have not received a schedule, so the recommendation is to prepare a letter of default to secure the letter of credit funding to address the outstanding punch list items. I know at this time the developer has been notified and there is a field meeting scheduled for next Monday at 11 to discuss the items prior to the city council meeting.
Mark Koenig is the broker for the property. So
Robert, property manager.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that you didn't think that we were hiding, that this was not a concern of ours. I'm a real estate broker, kind of put in property management with this new owner. New owner is not a real estate guy. He owns a manufacturing plant out of Morris. I don't know what I could just kind of took this prop, not took it, but acquired this property, not wanting to, but kind of had to. So this is not what he does. It has, I got all the letters, Crestlake, it's still under Crestlake Holdings, same corporate name and everything from day one when Tomich's owned it, and that I worked with Tomich's back in the day on this. Not on the construction part as a broker with a lot less knowledge than I have now. But the letters and everything were sent to Crestlake Holdings, but this owner just received something, I think, in December from Standard Bank. Very rarely is he in town, definitely in the wintertime. Attorney had a heart attack that he uses, I think it was Ed Jarrett or something, had cancer, the heart attack out of Joliet, so it's been kind of a very weird situation on this. I have been in discussions with Semcon, but ownership, not back in town, gone again. Wants a couple other bids. It's a lot. it's a lot, and there's just no understanding on this.
Yeah. They've been responsive recently, and our recommendation was to move it forward to City Council. We got the field meeting on Monday, where hopefully we'll get some traction on, you know, reasonable timelines, and then we can either make a decision at City Council to at least issue the default notice, which all that does is start a 60-day timeline and gives us room to negotiate, or to actually postpone that, pending the outcome of Monday's meeting. So this is, you know, because of the ownership situation has been clarified, we've had a lot more contact with them in the past 2 to 3 weeks than we had in the prior months. So I'm optimistic that this will get satisfied. It's just, you know, we might as well at least push it forward, and then, you know, each side is clear with what needs to be done.
I don't have a problem moving it forward to the council, and assuming the meeting goes well, you know, it'll be in staff's hands then whether or not it actually has to take action or if it can be remedied with the parties.
And we don't even know what action is, so,
sure.
I mean,
that's the purpose of the meeting. Yep.
We have no clue. And I just, the reason here is just to let you know we're not just some people out there that have a building, you know. We're trying to do things. We're trying to put some things together, trying to get some more tenants. And he's not a real estate guy, so it's not. It's a learning curve, and he just not what he does, and he's, we're trying, and yes, we're slow, very slow, definitely according to the record, some 2001 or whatever, when the letters started being sent, or not one, 9, 10, whatever, when you started recalling, but he did just kind of acquire this recently, I think it was November or something, don't hold me to that, no. June or something like that, I think, of last year. It's been about a year. We're working on things. He's not trying to shy away. We are here. We want to be part of the community. We want to try to grow that south side with you guys and try to get things in order.
It's appreciated. It's actually good that you showed up here. It sets a different tone.
Good. Thank you very much.
So, with that, we'll move this forward to City Council. Do we want it on consent?
No. Right. Put it on the floor.
Standard agenda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody like your card?
You can leave one.
Yeah. I'll email it to everybody.
Thank you very much.
We're good to go. Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
Right. You need my vote for anything else to help out here?
Meeting's Tuesday at 7, and, you know, obviously we'll be in touch on Monday, so.
We'll continue on 2016-39, 104 Peter Street, grant of easement.
As part of the development, the city is being granted a public utility and drainage easement for the water connection. So it would be the water service and the fire service, and then the grant of easement for the stormwater.
So we don't currently have an easement over this portion of the property on the 47 side of it, correct?
That's my understanding, correct.
And so we'll receive that easement. Will this help us in any way with any of the drainage issues that have happened a little further down the development?
No.
This has improved? No. Okay. I didn't know if we were trying to help remedy any of that with the acquisition of the easement or not.
No, this is the dance studio
site.
This is
at the north end.
Yep.
And I know it flows that way. But
yeah, correct. No, that this north end is well maintained. Yeah, we're proceeding forward with property maintenance violations, basically, on a couple of the lots south for stormwater drainage issues.
Okay.
So
I didn't know if it would have any relation or not, but
unfortunately not. No.
Okay. Pretty straightforward. Any objections to consent?
No.
Can I back up 1 minute? What did we decide for number 5?
Public Works report.
Yeah,
City Council.
Okay. So no consent. Thank you.
Okay, continuing on. 2016-40, street name sign sale.
Yeah, this is the old-fashioned municipal bake sale.
Yeah.
So got to get rid of some street signs because they're out of standard now. So we've actually got the inventory. We went through and had Nicole do it. We aren't totally married to the idea of doing it at Hometown Days, but what we found was North Aurora, they have the red street signs. They went through and did a sale. They sold them for $5, and they sold out, I think, 90% of them within like a 2-day period, and they had a line of like 100 people on the day that it opened.
Jam their phones, jam their shop.
Okay.
So I was one of those people.
Hey, no.
I already have
one
a
second,
list.
Jackie. Yeah. Out of order. Okay, my list first.
Yeah. So it's tough to say like what the exact demand would be. My idea was to kind of just do a first come, first served at an event, either by orders or through, holding a booth and doing like a traditional retail sale. But, the idea being we want to be fair to everybody. Hopefully they get their request.
So what are you proposing we do this at now? I know there was a list of things in the agenda here, but you're still thinking 4th of July? Or are you getting away from that?
Probably not, just because of timing-wise. It'll probably be hometown days. And I'm not necessarily married to those issues yet either. It's something as long as you guys were okay with the general format of the sale, we would figure out exactly how to do it to minimize basically the customer service issues with it.
We're basically thinking it's an in-person sale.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. It's going to be a first come, first serve.
Yeah.
Form a line here.
Okay, Chris is in the front there.
Well, yeah, I'm just trying to think. Okay, make sure that whatever event it is, I'm in town. So.
What? I know it was a nightmare for North Aurora.
Yeah.
So we want to avoid whatever they did. Mm-hmm. Are these street signs? I know you had the black and white ones that were just extras, I think. The green ones, were they signs that were never used, or your signs that came down?
Never used.
Okay.
So they're in good condition.
Yep.
And
new in box.
They've just been sitting. And this is going to be a cash and carry.
No swiping.
No swiping. It's just cash and carry. Yeah. So we just need to make sure that that's known, that we're not going to have somebody with an iPad and a square for people to swipe. So.
Just like an old garage sale.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is good. The funds for this will go back into the general fund, and then we'll decide if there's anything in particular we want to go to for.
Yep.
I mean, it's an unexpected revenue, so I think this is a good opportunity for whatever we choose. I mean, what's our total?
I'm sorry.
$9,000?
About, yeah.
If we sell everything.
Yep.
The key is publicity. You get the word out, people will buy these things.
Yeah, well, if nothing else, what they buy them for is they'll go resell them at flea markets and everything else. They'll throw them around on the ground and beat them up and say they're vintage.
So actually, the ones that aren't used, I think, are more desirable.
Is it now?
Because I've bought some that you can tell were hanging, and they're all beat up.
Yeah.
And there's something about that, too, I guess.
But. Well, that's what we're going to do is just start saving them, because we usually just put them right in the dumpster. If people start buying them like that, we'll put them in a pile in the corner and sell them once a year and make money.
Yeah.
Special revenue fund.
Ultimately, we could have Turn set up a web page that just has them. As soon as they come in, they're posted and sold.
You got to do like Joel does with his honey, do a little site, you buy it online, pay for it, no money.
I'd love to.
No people contact. Well, I guess we have to get them to them.
Shipping these is a lot more than honey.
Yeah.
Some of them are big.
All right. So this is just informational.
Yeah. You guys like the concept.
Sounds new.
And then you'll just give us an update as to what events we're going to go, and we'll create some type of a media blast for it.
Yeah. Mike Thomas, like I said, he heard this, and look, he's already, Mom. These are the five I want.
He
puts it in my iPad. Don't ask me what he's going to do with them. I have no clue. That child's strange.
All right.
We'll be adding to it because we're actually changing out all the countryside signs and all the prairie land signs this year with the road program.
So this will be this list will be updated as we go through.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Continuing on. 2016-41, NPDES, permit annual report. This is a fun read.
Isn't it? This is more paperwork for the IEPA. This is a mandated requirement that we fill this out every year in order to keep our MS4 and PDES permit. Nothing real fancy on there, but it's what we have to do.
Do we have any questions on this one? It's showing we meet at least the minimum standards and criteria set forth by the state.
I did learn one thing. Electronics recycling does count as positive towards us.
And I think next year, as we start going through our inventory of the stormwater, that's probably something that'll help us as well.
Reporting.
Good. That's informational.
This one goes to council.
Mm-hmm. So, consent.
And then to the EPA.
Report.
Sounds good.
Okay. And next on the list, 2016-42 Downtown Brownfield Project.
Yeah, there's a memo in the packet, just explaining kind of the status of where that sits, so I won't rehash it in total, but, you know, depending on what we want to do down there, it could be a couple hundred thousand dollars to clean it up, either just through, like, treating the soil or excavating it, or when the property finally gets developed, you can do things like put a parking lot over the contaminated area or build the building so it's over the contaminated area, basically encapsulated in concrete, that basically just becomes a portion of the building costs. So study has been outstanding basically for, I want to say we started it like 10 or 11 years ago. It was funded by the state. I think we've already received advance funding on it, so it's just a matter of spending the money. And it's, you know, at like the 95 percentile of being done. So that's where it sits. We're waiting basically for the developer to come back to us to say, I want to build a building on it, or no, I'm going to build a park or a parking lot on it. And then that would allow us to finalize the report, close it up with the IEPA, so that when he actually goes forward with whatever he wants to do down there, that, you know, it would already be IEPA approved. So.
And this was brought on to this one because I want to keep it fresh in our minds. Next week there's an agenda item in EDC that's going to be relative to this, in a way, as we're talking about downtown improvements, that kind of thing, I wanted to make sure that this was still up there as a, you know, on the tickler list of things to be done. You know, we could push the envelope and say, hey, we want to go out, do a bond for this. We want to actually do the worst case scenario remediation and then wait for the TIF to come in and pay it as a way to spur development. But that's obviously not something that we've broached through EDC yet, but it is something we talked about through goal setting as to what we could do downtown to spur things. But I just want to make sure this was still up there as a discussion, everybody was still aware of the status. Hopefully we see some activity here with our developer and other things that are happening downtown. So if anybody has any questions, otherwise this is just informational for now. Next item, 2016-43, downtown barrier wall safety discussion.
I don't even know where to start on this one.
Oh my gosh.
Jackie, do you want to start? I know your feelings.
Okay.
Let's go.
I don't care about the wall, but that, you know why, about the fencing? And obviously the fencing doesn't work because the car got up over the wall and the fencing and almost hit a building.
Well,
I'm still trying to figure out how she did that.
Its job generally.
It didn't go through the building.
It didn't go into it, but it did Dukes of Hazzard style go up onto the top of it. So.
What are the details? How did that happen? Because I read that the car was southbound, but
it was northbound.
Okay.
It was westbound on Van Emmen.
Right.
Turning right to go northbound.
And turned.
And went up on the wall and rode up the wall
up.
And Dukes of Hazzard stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly.
He or she must have had it floored to come off that corner to go up.
Even to turn. I thought maybe they should have gone straight and did something.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, so to manage that, and this is, I put it on because this is becoming an issue. We've talked about the railing for aesthetics, but we're on the hook every time for insurance claims. You know, this one goes through, obviously, the other party's insurance, but it's
I know the Eamonson building. Kathy Eamonson recently, they just got their money from that claim of whoever hit their stairs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It took a while for that to.
And my understanding is IDOT is looking at it as well because there's a realization there's a problem. Obviously, we put the bollards up.
We put the bollards up as protection for the mast arms.
Right.
I don't think they'll allow bollards for this because the wall's actually doing its job correctly and stopping the cars from going into the buildings.
So,
and not hurting people in the cars because if they had
followed
at 35.
Right, if somebody was walking, it could have been different. But
she almost went through the building.
Raise the question, is there another problem down there? You know, is it a speed issue that needs to be addressed, or is it geometrics?
If I could add, I know this. I
been, I walk every morning, and we've been going down the path, you know, and down to where it ends, because it doesn't connect to 71. Don't get me started on that. So they are flying down there. The truck, and that's even closer when you're going through town. But we've just noticed, my walking buddy and I, that down 47, it's everybody in the morning is just flying down there. Now, I did notice yesterday an officer sitting out there. But I think it's a speed thing is definitely one thing. They come off of, like, by 71 and just start flying into town.
Well, we got a public safety meeting coming up 1st of July. And I'll put this on the agenda just so get the discussion rolling.
And this is, you know, we're out there, like, 6:30 in the morning, and they're just, it's a lot of traffic.
I just remember this lady came, or man.
I know, and that one did. I know, she came.
Right.
Well, and it's a bad turn on Van Allen.
Well, my wonder is, did this person turn right on red and not see somebody coming down the hill
and free
have to get on it?
Because you there is no sight line there for turning right.
And, well, it's a no turn, but they do turn on it though.
Even today, when I turn, and if you're turning and you're staying in your lane like you're supposed to, it's a sharp turn to stay in.
Right.
If she overcorrected it, she could have just hit that right and rode up it. It just, I don't know. It's just bad design.
The police report reinforces, I think, the verbal conversation I had with one of the officers that this was not speed related and not swerving. It was just somebody not paying attention and basically drove up onto the barrier. And to address an earlier point, too, because I know I've seen it on social media, too, the railing that is there strictly for pedestrian usage to hold them up. It's not a protection barrier.
Is the concrete 12-inch wall. That is what stops cars. And you look at it, there's no damage to the barrier wall. There is damage to the structure, the concrete structure that supports the railing.
Yeah.
That was damaged, but the actual wall itself was not.
Yeah.
So did she turn in front of? I'm trying to
doesn't
read this.
Say. No,
run.
It doesn't, no, don't she, think so. No.
Yeah, you know, that's what it looked. That little diagram could have. She could have. Oh, like you said, turning on.
No, it was just that she wasn't paying attention and basically just overcompensated on the turn.
Well, I noticed tonight just turning in my little car in there. It is a sharp. To stay in your lane if someone's coming. So, I mean, she could have overcorrected that way.
But
it's a bad...
We can always make it one way.
Yeah, I mean, there are things that IDOT might recommend. They might recommend to, throttle it down north and south and go back to one lane, to add in parking. I mean, there's a number of things that we've talked about as part of other, pedestrian crossing areas that you might actually want in downtown after we, remove that. So we'll see what they say.
When you walk that way, it's I know it's a normal size. It's very confining as a pedestrian with that wall too.
Mm-hmm.
There is a God forbid there was somebody walking there. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere you're not getting away from something.
Well, you're ducking. That's about all you can do.
Right, because if you duck and get it right next to the wall, you're okay.
Yeah.
A little scared. Okay.
Yeah. So with this one, I think we just kind of need to wait and see what IDOT says about it. Obviously, we have some concerns down there. I think IDOT is aware of them.
Is that the only place that's chronically getting hit right there on that?
Right. Well, I mean, we did have one of the mast arms on the other side, correct?
Yeah, before we put the bollard.
But that was before the bollard, but it was a mast arm.
That was probably a truck turning.
That was a semi-turning.
So, other than that, this is the chronic corner.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blind corner.
It's bad.
That's why it's no turn on red. But okay.
Which we are going to try to get the railing down at least and capped off for summer solstice before that starts.
Yeah, there's a whole run of railing hanging out though.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try to unbolt it from the concrete there. Just take the sections
out. I noticed that today. That it's kind of dangerous walking up somebody.
You know, the sight lines are just terrible. I mean, they're the same way when you're on hydraulic going west. You got to really pull out there to see if anybody's flying down the road.
Even coming by, like from your house, and you're on Fox, and you're turning, coming, going east, they're not the greatest there either.
Oh, the old fire barn?
Because of the fire barns in the way. For,
Right.
That's again why there's no turn on red.
Yeah. But it just, when they did it, it just changed. Like, three spots really, really did a bad job on them sideways. And the railing's ugly, it's all there.
So, yeah, thanks to think about deal with that one. But we'll keep this on. I don't think we need to bring it back until we have some information from IDOT.
One last thing. Sure. So IDOT, are they concerned that, I mean, is there a notice book? Like, what is their threshold of like, oh, look it, this has only been done like a year or two?
I don't know yet. My guess, and yours may be totally different, is that this probably doesn't rank high up. Mm-hmm. Just knowing the other areas up and down 47 where there's been repeated accidents, like between Sugar Grove and Yorkville.
Mm-hmm. The guardrail there in Galena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Every time you go there, it's damaged.
Yeah. So, yeah. I'm sure they're probably sensitive to it because they're still wrapping up the project. But
I guess I would hope they're concerned close. Because it is. Yeah. It could be a very high... You've got new businesses going in, and it could be a higher area there.
Yeah, I don't want to think that it's not an issue because
it's more of a
new
pedestrian area where you've got innocent people not painted. You know, you're walking along and boom, somebody's up on the wall.
Correct. And maybe we ask for a variance for the height on that railing too, so it stays underneath the fence, so we don't have to replace it every time a vehicle decides to go.
So the railing is just there. I don't get the whole concept.
Pedestrian accessibility, that's it.
Yep.
Why does a pedestrian have to hang on to that?
By state code, you're required to have a 42-inch high handrail.
Right.
The railing, the vertical pieces, are architectural, ornamental only.
On that side, yes. On the other side.
The other side is different because you do have an excess gap. But where we're
so talking, because the wall is shorter... Is that what you're talking? I'm not following you.
Where
you have that difference in height, and once you get over 42 inches in that difference, that's where you need that 42-inch handrail.
Right. You have to have a handrail. You don't have to have a fence, but you have to have the handrail 42 inches because you've got, from the street side, that wall is consistently sized.
Mm-hmm.
But the pavement comes up and down depending on the doors on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
And that's why that varies.
Yeah, that's
the only reason we have that. If it was consistent sidewalk, you could put that short little railing right on top of the wall. But that'd be...
Go back to when we discussed, could that railing be put on top of the wall? Like, and have it more consistent?
It'd be 48. That'd be way too tall in a lot of spots. Or way too short.
Right.
On the other side of the street.
What you would have still, Jackie, is you would have a handrail.
Right.
1.5-inch diameter that would just zigzag up and down. You would have that fence that's only yay tall or whatever you wanted. You can make it as tall as you want, but you're going to have a random railing that has to follow the contour. So there's no good solution.
But the contour of the wall is more consistent, as you said, if you look at the record building.
Right.
It's more consistent.
The wall is consistent.
Yeah, so if you had it on the wall, yeah, it would vary in height. But
there are points where you're going to see no railing, because
it'll
at some points, the railing, the ground is... 3.5 feet below the top of that rail. But there are points where that wall is, there's only about an inch difference between the top of the wall and the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
And so you see the full 42 inches of rail. So it's...
I'm sorry, it's goofy.
It was a goofy design, but there was a decision to make them ramp accessible instead of stair accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the decision way back, and that's what created that contouring. Which... Now we're paying for it.
Which we actually got a variance, and it actually looks a lot better than it would have, because we would have had to have two switchback ramps on the west side, which would have made the sidewalk 3 foot wide.
Right. So it's better this way.
Yeah.
But there was a trade-off.
Hey, give those cars a couple more years, there won't be any fence left.
I know. You have to... Yes, we have to replace it. So.
But maybe in this area where we're at, if we're down below, maybe we can just put the railing up and we don't have to have the vertical stiles and just have the railing so it actually... And maybe we stop
it. It looks like it pretty much
short
runs.
Of the wall and dive it in.
Maybe we could just continue the concrete wall around the corner.
I
doubt they would do that, but I mean, that's... You know, we lose our crosswalk, though. That's a major thing is if you bring that... I mean, you could probably bring that wall all the way around. You could still meet the turns and everything, but you lose crosswalk.
Could they bring it close, like in front of Ingmanson's building? Like, why did it start? What was the design that it starts at in front of the record and misses the end building? Any thought about it?
They have.
I would be guessing if I had to. It'd just all be conjecture now. I don't know why they. No, why they started.
I don't know. That would have probably alleviated this kind. Well, she's. Maybe not. I don't
probably
know.
Not.
Yeah. It's just a goofy. People need to learn how to drive.
in a lot of cases, you're correct. I mean, this person was reaching for their cell phone.
Yeah.
And you get what you deserve. Yeah. And luckily, nobody else got hurt.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
No cars rolled over or anything of the sort either. So, right. Could have gone a lot worse. All right. So, informational for now. We'll wait to hear back. Continuing on. Similar subject, 2015-55, pedestrian crosswalk signage.
We've ordered the sign. They are due in August.
Yeah, they will not be up for the 4th. We'll probably take possession mid-July and then probably 1st of August, hopefully before school.
We did have to, this is the 47 sign, we did have to order some advanced warning signage that ended up, I think, being like $2,000 more than what we'd originally quoted you. But that's just to make sure that it's appropriate with the topography of the area and then MBTCD standards.
And it was correct in the memo on the PW.
Okay.
So I was wrong.
Okay. And then the crosswalk signage at Bristol Bay and Autumn Creek and Hydraulic in 47. The school district has verbally told me that they would be willing to fund half of the crosswalk signage, but not the crossing guards themselves. So the crossing guards were about $4,500 per location, which was two locations, Bristol Bay and Autumn Creek. And they said no thanks to those, but they still have to take it to one of their committees or their boards in a couple weeks from now. So
you said in a couple weeks, because next Monday is board, so they're going to go to the first committee meeting.
I thought that they were going to a committee meeting first. He didn't give me the exact date.
But yeah, next week is, if that's what they were saying, next week is school board, and then they have a committee meeting following, which will be, what is that, the 11th? So, good one. I'll be there for that one. So we can. And I know here's... We had a conversation, Bart, about the rationale of them not wanting to do the staffing.
Yes.
Convenient rationale, I would say, but not logical. So I just say continue pushing. We'll see what they come up with at that meeting, but I think at least they've made some movement to share part of the cost.
Yep.
But I think we still have more work to do to make it still.
Yeah, and they did try to package this issue with the north end zone over here and the rear parking lot and the soccer fields in the back, and we told them we don't think we'd ever get rid of the rear soccer fields at Beecher, but, you know, the north end zone is basically on city property and a portion of the, you know, we could give basically the parallel line, so a larger portion of the parking lot if they would consider repaving it, so... They're going to go back and forth. They've got an actual decent quote for the paving of the rear parking lot for all of it, and then they want to just invoice us for our share. We don't have it budgeted, and we probably can find the money with our fiscal year 16 budget surplus is what we're thinking. But if we have extra money, there's other things I think that we'd prefer to, you know, to direct it to. So their request was, well, maybe you'll just split the patching costs with us, and so our response was, well, maybe we'll go out, we can do some of it with our paver and then minimize the costs on both of us, and then they can just, you know, chip in on something else. So we're working through that with them. We'll see what they...
No movement on them signing our intergovernmental.
That's like a black hole of...
Has not been discussed since it was presented to the board last year.
Yeah, it hasn't been a high priority for them, I don't think, at a staff level, which is unfortunate. But on the flip side, they have not, given us any issues with, you know, school scheduling and parks and rec usage, which is really what we were worried about. We thought that they were going to be giving away some of our spots, and that hasn't been a problem. So
we give them away too, so I think we've
left in for. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, that'll be really when we run into an issue. But, you know, at that point, I don't know that they would ever have a reason to do so. I mean, you always can pull out services from the schools and other things, too, as, you know, kind of an equal measure. But I don't know that it's going to get there. So, not ideal, but it hasn't gone as far south as I had expected it to a couple of years ago. So I suppose that's good.
Yeah, it's on to learn.
So what's the status of the Main and 47 sign? I mean, that's...
They're ordered.
So that's the August?
Yeah, that's the August.
Okay, I thought I was under maybe the wrong impression. I thought we had talked about that so long before these other ones. I thought that was moving quicker.
It was. We had to get state approval. That had to go to Ottawa to get approved. And Brad just sent me the packet. We actually ordered it the day that he gave me that.
So we had to get the approval, and then that's when we found out about the additional signage we had to order, yep. Which is done. So everything's been ordered and approved.
It's all ordered.
So realistically, when can we expect to see that sign up?
I am hoping for the first part of August.
Okay. All right. Anything else on... crosswalk signage, or we'll keep this as an informational item to bring back for an update as we need it. All right, continuing on. 2015-56, maintenance of stormwater management facilities.
Correct. You asked for this to be put on there, I guess, as an update as well.
Yes.
And the update is that it is still on the radar, still going to happen. But with RTBR and all the other projects, I just haven't had time to do that, to invest that hour's worth to look up all the owners' information. But in the meantime, we have had a couple issues that one we were addressing with a local basin that needs some work, and another one is our own that needs some work. So
we've been dealing with our Bristol 65, mm-hmm. which might end up being Bristol 50, and we're dealing with Iroquois Grand Reserve?
No,
I'm sorry. Further south.
Narvik's
now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, is that what they're... That's what they're digging is the basin?
Is that what they're doing? I didn't
they're
see
digging
it.
Out there, yeah.
Well,
it looks like they're extending the basin, or...
They're just cleaning it.
Or cleaning it, okay. Yeah, they've been working in there.
So that one's going... Mm-hmm. And I know the reason I was thinking Grand Reserve is there some discussion.
We're doing that.
Things moving forward on that, so...
Well, I think we're actually creating the punch list as part of... So that is actually moving forward a lot.
Which is good. We have a few of them. Not kind of the method we had spoke about trying to hit a quadrant at a time, but
right.
We have actual developments working with punch lists, so that's taking priority, obviously.
Right.
Anytime we can do a development, I'm okay with that. So that's good. We'll keep this as an informational item as we need reports.
Sure.
I don't think we need it next month, but maybe in a few months, see where we're at.
Sure.
2016-21, Leopardo Energy. Quick update.
Yeah, memo in the packet, just that we're moving forward with it. So you've got a list of the items that we're requesting, some of which we have and some of which are going to take a little bit longer to grab. So, you know, I've let them know that we're compiling it and that we'll send it over as we get it. So hopefully in the next few months they'll have some analysis that shows us how we can save some money.
Good. Glad to see that moving forward. Any questions on that from anybody? Okay. That's our regular agenda. Additional business.
Just a question. I noticed in the evening rush hour on 47 on the north end of town, it seems like it's getting more and more backed up, congested. You notice that too?
Bart sends me updates daily. Yes. And we have talked to District 1, we have talked to District 3. Mead has been out there and synchronized and timed them. So they are aware of the problem, they are doing things to solve the problem, and their answer is there's just more traffic. There's more than one lane can handle.
Yeah. I've noticed the cannonball light seems to not be staying green long enough, which keeps everything backed up.
Mm,
I've noticed that too from time to time. So we that's within our control and is something we can go out and take a look at.
We will have them take another look. We've got that set almost as far as we can to keep it green on 47 the longest. But when cars come from Cannonball the other way, it trips it. It trips those far out loops.
Because, yeah, those are not true timer sensors. They are, they're magnetic sensors,
right,
so they're picking up the motion when a vehicle approaches. So I go through it twice a day, so morning and night, so I know the patterns pretty well.
And we get calls on just the opposite, that Cannonball never is green, that 47 is always green. So
I said it in both ways.
Yeah.
What's the wriggle you like going to do to that situation and make it worse?
Yes.
Because they're not going to be...
They will be in sync.
Tied again. They will be in sync. Mm-hmm. So, timing-wise, if one trips, it'll set this...
We're actually tying them all into the 47 system. Right now, they're not.
They're all
in. So, they'll be radio. It'll be radio from Cannonball to Kennedy, but it'll be fiber from Wheaton or from Boomba to Wrigley to Cannonball.
Okay.
So, they'll all be... So that should clear up a lot of those issues, but as soon as you hit Galena and 30 in Jericho, you're going to have the same problems.
So it'll help move traffic
a little further
north-south. It'll help move them in a consistent motion without stopping as frequently.
Right.
But the triggers will go off. The sensors will go off.
On Cannonball, which will trigger everything.
But you'll have a greater chance of hitting more green lights.
We'll have more control over it, too. Because 34 and 47 will be that master controller.
Okay. And it's funny because in the morning, the real issue is up by Jericho and 30.
Right.
Although that's hit and miss. Every day is different, it seems. So I take it they're keeping an eye on those.
They're trying. Yeah. They are trying. It kind of gets really goofy when you factor in, I don't want to say basically, but basically a three-legged intersection. When you have baseline that has cars, but a lot of the turning movements and movements are on and off of 30 there and 47. So it's hard, and with Jericho being so close.
Yeah. Okay. And then one last, just a question, actually. On the work we did down in Sunflower with the drainage issues, I haven't heard anything. Has that corrected the problems?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went out and checked it a bunch of times since then. A little bit, yeah, there have to be some ongoing maintenance and stuff to prevent it from backing up, but yeah, it's corrected the problem.
There's some overgrowth on the west side, correct?
Yeah, I think
still. Yeah. Yeah, the west side has not been maintained as well as the east of that corridor, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. But it's still functioning.
Yes, quite well.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Jackie? So, Mrs. Groner, do you want me to get back to her about her sidewalk, or do you want to... I left a message. I told her I'd be talking to you gentlemen. And
if you want to, that's fine. If not, okay. I will. But her sidewalk is not going to be an overnight project.
It will be replaced, but
we are working on the replacement with the railing. Okay. Just like we had said, and striping, and we'll add to my list in her tree. We will put it on the top of the list.
So am I safe to tell her that she'll see some movement on the tree and the striping and then the sidewalk down the line?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Okay. I won't commit.
I would not commit to this week.
Oh, I'm not going to give her any
striping. Give her a month.
I would say within the next probably before Mitchell.
I'm safe to say that if she doesn't hear something in 2 weeks,
yes,
to please call.
Yes.
Okay. There was that other gentleman too. I wanted to kind of tie in with this. That one on Van Emmon. I can't remember his name. It's on my refrigerator. With the mailbox and the retaining wall.
Oh, yeah.
Is he? I haven't heard from him, so we're good to go.
We're all
there?
Good. Dave Stewart actually went up and talked to him.
Okay.
And walked through it. It's part of the part of the sanitary manhole project for the Road to Better Roads. And as far as I know, everything's all good.
Okay.
We'll be repairing that wall.
I can take it off my refrigerator.
Yep, and everything we did was in the right of way.
Okay.
So
and he knew that.
Yep.
He kind of knew that, but he wanted to know what was going to happen. He was very nice to deal with. So, okay, I will call her. I'll give her a call tomorrow.
and I'll just tell her the tree and the stripes will come before the sidewalk.
That is true.
Okay.
I do have a bid for the sidewalk with the railing, and I'm glad you're saying it's like $37,000. So I'm getting more bids.
She wants a railing in front of
her. No, it's not she wants. It's more than an 18-inch drop, again, with the 42-inch handrail.
In front of her house.
Yeah, there to the east of her house, yes.
Okay. I have to go back there again.
It has to be done. It's right. Just a matter of finding that kind of money for, yeah, you know, 185-foot
sidewalk. Oh, she said something, too. Was there a sign removal, some sign?
Oh, yeah. Yes, the do not enter sign on the alley. Just take it down because nobody pays attention to it anyway. Okay.
That was the other thing. There was a sign. I'm trying to remember
what that's what it is.
Message. Okay, I will get back to her then. That's it.
I just had one question. I know we just approved the RFQ for Kennedy. Has that gone out? Do you know who it's going
to
be?
Yeah, I sent it to...
Just kind of get an update.
Well, EEI, I assume they have it since they were at the meeting and got approved. I sent it to HR Green, Trotter & Associates, Robinson Engineering, and I want to say one other, but I'm not finding it in my email. So if there's anybody else you want me to direct send it to, it is also up on the website, too.
Okay,
so
I looked this morning. I didn't see it.
We did it this afternoon. Okay.
That's what...
Did you say Baxter and Woodman apart?
No, I have not sent it to them yet.
Yeah,
okay, put them on the list.
You did. Do you fit at Baxter Woodman?
Did I?
Yep. That's the other one that you were thinking.
Okay. Oh, okay. So those are the four that have been direct sent so far?
Yep.
Okay. Good. All right, I just wanted to check and see how that was. Now, anything else? All right, we will adjourn at 7:50.
6:53.
6:53, sorry, I don't want to drag that.